A discussion of church. That's where we're at right now. What God intended it to be and what we have turned it into, right? You guys remember when Daniel Ritchie was here? And Daniel and I are walking into the building. Somebody asked me this morning when I shared it in Sunday school, did you open the door for him? Wouldn't it be cool to have those Walmart doors that when you walk up, they're zhoosh? Because I love making believe that I'm a Jedi. I walk up and I go, and I'm zoom. But we're walking up, and Daniel says to me, tell me about your people. What's the best way that you can describe your church? And I said, Daniel, you're going to love my people. We are a beautiful mess. We're in an absolutely beautiful mess. We're messed up, but we know the God that thinks we're beautiful, right? And we celebrate that each week. We're doing the story of Peter and John. And Peter and John in chapter 3 in Acts run into someone incredibly ironic, but incredibly familiar. Incredibly ironic, but incredibly familiar. This guy was completely alone and yet surrounded by people. Anybody relate? I always tell the story of one of my earliest memories of being at a greatly named department store in Steubenville, Ohio, Treasure Island. That's a great name for a department store, Treasure Island. If I had a thrift store, that's what I would call it, Treasure Island. And somehow I got separated from my mom. And I was super young. I can still remember what I was looking at, ironically, were blue jeans. I don't know why. And I turn around and my mom is gone. Now, I'm sure she never said to me, come on, let's go. I'm sure of that, right? But she's gone. I'm surrounded by people and incredibly alone. Some of us know what that's like in life, to be surrounded by people, but we feel lost. We feel incredibly alone. When I've told that story before, I always say that I was finally rescued from the voice from above that called my name over the loudspeakers and said, your mom is waiting for you at this spot. I ran to that spot and I grabbed some woman that was not my mom, but still. Peter and John run into this guy that is surrounded by people and he's broken. And he's alone, and he asks the apostles for something. And Peter says, that's not what you want. I've got something better. I've got something that will make your mess beautiful. And if it's possible for this guy, it's got to be possible for me and for us, right? So open up your Bibles. Let's find out what it is. Acts chapter 3, we're going to begin right in verse 1. I want you to see this broken guy because he was broken since birth. And a lot of us can relate to this brokenness idea. We're talking more and more about mental illness and what it involves in us. And I want us to be able to heal from that and see how God can transform us. Verse 1, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. They were going to church. At 3 in the afternoon, that's not a bad time to have church, by the way. Let's get this done and over with. Sunday morning, we can sleep in, right? Now, a man who was lame from birth. Highlight that, underline it, save it as a note. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called, here's the irony, what's it called? This broken man since birth is at the beautiful gate where he was put every single day to beg from those going into the temple courts. Look at verse 2. We learn from Luke right out of the gate that this guy is lame. I've been called lame before. Anybody else? And usually when I'm called lame, I always say, honey, can we talk about that later? This guy's legs don't work, never had. have, born with it, right? And some of us were born with things that haunt us. Part of mine is heart disease. I was born with heart disease. I was born with several holes in my heart, and as my dad says, a few in my head, right? Several holes in my heart. It has not worked right. It will never work right. And someday it will probably be the death of me unless I fall off a mountain, which is highly likely, right? It has not worked. Some of us, like those holes in my heart, we can relate to because we have pain that nobody can see. This guy, his brokenness was obvious. For some of us, our brokenness, you can't see it because all we want to do is survive. We want to make it through the day. And so continue to look at these verses. He was sat there for one purpose. What was it to do? Beg. Whatever it takes to survive is a lot of time what we go through in our daily life because of these pains, this brokenness, this lameness that we've grown so accustomed to, some of us since the day we were born because of the family that we were born into, right? It haunts us. And every single day we just find ourselves begging, I just got to make it through this. I just got to do this. I just want to survive. And sometimes that anger, that bitterness, those emotional walls that we put up, a lot of times we just focus on me. Life becomes about me. Life becomes about surviving. Doesn't matter if we hurt other people. We just need to survive. We're broken. We're hurting. And we want some relief. We want somebody to do something for. We are completely surrounded by people. And yet completely alone. You think that's what a lot of people in Salina and Dayton are going through right now? With their houses completely gone. Have you seen some of the pictures? I was down in Salina the other day talking to someone about how can our church get involved? How can our church get invested? And bless her heart, she was so overwhelmed. This is somebody that has to coordinate a lot of things that are going on. And she was trying to get the words out. And I'm standing there with my hands in my pockets because that's always good body language, right? And I'm standing there because I don't know what else to do with these hands because you know me, these hands have got to move. And as she was just trying to get out, how can we help? And, da, 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 and I'm standing there and I'm messing with something in my left pocket. And I pulled it out, and it was a $20 bill. Now, that's the devil's money. Cash is dumb, right? I hate cash. That's the devil's money. And I'm like, I don't want this money. And I handed it to her, and I said, hey, I know you're getting ready to go away. Do something with this just for you. And she broke down bawling and just hugged me. Guys, it does not take much when someone is broken. It does not take much in the way of compassion for them to feel completely safe to fall apart. People that others are leaning on right now, right? And it's okay to do that, but a lot of times we don't look at people through the eyes of compassion. We look at people and go, whew, glad that wasn't our house. Glad that wasn't my church, right? And the irony of these few verses is, what was the name of the gate that he was laid before? Beautiful gate. Do you think that made him feel great inside? The man that cannot walk, the man that cannot move, and I'm sure he's grateful that people at least dumped him somewhere, but every single day this broken guy was reminded he's at the beautiful gate. And we have the tendency to look around us and see other beautiful things and other people, beautiful people with beautiful cars and beautiful kids. Why can't I be like that? Quit comparing. Do what Darren talked about. The only one we need to compare ourselves to is Christ. How close are we to being like him? But I wonder, did this bring him some emotional pain? Did anybody ever consider, hey, at least we're dumping this guy somewhere. We're doing our part. And that's one of the things that I've heard from a pastor in Dayton that I talked to just this morning and people in Salina is just leave us alone for a little bit. We're still trying to assess everything that's going on. We appreciate the help, but just consider what we're going through. And I said, got it. You'll tell me when the time is right for Jennings Road to get involved, right? Did these guys ever think with compassion about where they sat him every single day? A lot of us know that feeling because we're broken inside, those hurts that we cannot see. We're all, as Darren talked about, born with hurts that we cannot see, sin. And man, we just learn to survive with it. Doesn't matter who we push away. It doesn't matter how angry we sound. We got to take care of me. I got to take care of me and mine. It's just not healthy. Hopefully, you have someone that will drop you off at the beautiful gate to meet the beautiful one. I want our church to not just be a beautiful mess, but a beautiful gate that people can come dumped and they'll meet the beautiful one. So look at verse 3. I'm going to use a fancy term just because it begins with the letter B. He got to behold something. When he saw, this blows my mind. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Right? Peter looked straight at him, as did John. I love that verse. Please make it your life verse. When somebody says, what's your life verse from the Bible? Blow their minds by saying in Acts chapter 3, verse 4. And I'll tell you why. Peter looked at him as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. Is there a period at the end of that declaration? A question mark? Look at us. So the man gave them his attention. Listen, expecting to get something from them. Oh. Look back at verse 4. This lame guy asks for what? What's he want? Money! Because as we know, money solves everything. Oh, Darren, if I only had this much money, right? If I only had that car, if I only had that house, if we only had another pastor, right? It's all these ifs. He is all about surviving today. I gotta survive today. I have to beg for money. Hey, Peter and John, who I've never met before, can I have some money? Please look again at verse 4, and I want you to notice something very important about what Peter did and then John did. James, whoever. John, right, you passed the quiz. Peter, in response to this guy asking for money, looks at him. John looks at him. How many people do you think going into church never look that guy's way? Completely overlooked. Come on, guys. We're good at that as Christians, aren't we? Overlook. Not my monkey, not my business. Right? Just plunk. And they looked at him. We are notorious for churches in America at overlooking people that are hurting, right? We've done it throughout our history. We overlook the hurting. We overlook the racial tensions. We overlook now, come on, guys, Ohio ranked fourth in the nation for human trafficking. and I have a pastor in this town as I'm sharing the story about it. And I'm saying, man, every chance I get now, I am passionate about pointing it out in Scripture whenever it happens. And the guy that's been pastoring for 40 years looks at me and goes, where's that in the Bible? We overlook this stuff. And there's all these people that are hurting and broken and overlooked because we just got to get to church. We got to do the church thing. We cannot afford to overlook the overlooked. Now, just because, I don't know whether it fits or not, I think it's absolutely hilarious the response of Hollywood to Georgia having a very strict ban on abortions now. Have you seen that? For years, if you watch any movie, at the end of credits, I know you leave, I love reading them, there's always a Georgia peach and something about filmed in Georgia, because, man, they give them all kinds of tax breaks. So all of Hollywood goes to Georgia to film movies. Now, Georgia has passed an extreme abortion bill, and Alabama said, watch this, right? So it's crazy what's going on. Now Hollywood, the moral standards that they are, have said, we're no longer coming to your state. And my favorite out of all of it is Alyssa Milano. Oh my gosh. You knew Alyssa Milano from Who's the Boss? I did too, but then I watched Charm. I'm evil. So Alyssa Milano comes out and demands that women across America have a sex strike. No longer have sex with their husbands until Georgia overturns that bill. And I laughed and said, Alyssa, maybe you've not been married that long. That's nothing to any marriage, right? Shut up, Candy. Shut up, Alyssa Milano. You're a train wreck. What in the world is Hollywood trying to preach to us about morality? And in the middle of it all, of the left and the right and Hollywood and blah, 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 are these poor girls and these guys and these babies that everybody loves to overlook. We will not be a church that overlooks the unborn. You go ahead, Hollywood. Go ahead. Where are you going to go running back to? California? You go ahead. Because for as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we will not overlook the unborn. We will not overlook people that are broken. They're just begging to survive the day. And I bet there's someone in this room that feels overlooked. And I'm not going to look around on this because I don't know whether it's true or not, but I bet there's someone in this room that enjoys overlooking the broken and the hurting. And those just trying to survive the day. So, you spend some time this week. Here's your challenge for this week. You spend some time this week trying to find someone that's overlooked. You got a whole room full of people here, guys. But I bet there's somebody at work. I bet there's somebody on the team. I bet there's somebody where you eat that's overlooked. And that's your challenge. Don't let them be overlooked this week. You tell them what Peter told this guy. Hey, can I have some money? And Peter looks at this guy and says, oh, I got something better. I got something better. Verse 6. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have. Thanks, Mr. Fancy Pants. But what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, He helped him up. Would you please highlight that phrase? Would you please circle it? Taking him by the hand, he helped him up. Oh. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. I wish it had said knees, because then I'd be like, come on, Peter, help me out. Lift me up. Woo! This guy, verse 8, jumped to his feet. I can't pull that off. And began to walk. Where's the first place he goes? Then he went with them into the temple courts. All those people that had ignored him. Walking and jumping. Charismatic church. Walking and jumping and praising God. Look at verse 6. Please note, Peter was not lying. Peter was not lying. You cannot lie in situations like this. Somebody's asking for you for money, you go, yeah, I ain't got nothing. Now, if you're like me, that's true, because cash is the devil's money, right? I ain't got nothing to give you. But a lot of times I'll say, come on, let's go over there and have breakfast. Right? Don't lie. You don't have to be disingenuous in situations like this. But, man, there is always something better than money. Did you see what he shared? What I have, I'll give to you. He told his story. What I have is Jesus. I never used to, but man, I do now. And I can fix your finances and I can do all this other stuff, but if you ain't got Jesus, you ain't got nothing. What I have, I give you. What a great place to start with someone who is hurting. Tell your story of how Jesus healed you. Where'd the guy go? First place, where did he go? Church. Is this a church where broken people can come and celebrate that Jesus healed them? Or are we going to sit here and go, well, I wish it was me? Just celebrate with other people when they've been healed. Is this a place where you can come and tell how God has worked in your life? Is this a place where you can come and reveal your lifelong pain and be healed? All right, verse 9. Let's wrap this up. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, doesn't that ruin your church service? When all the people saw him walking and praising God, verse 10, they recognized him. Of course they did. They recognized him. They had overlooked him, but they recognized him. Ain't that bum that used to sit out there? They recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Because of how God had transformed this guy, the church was filled with awe and wonder. All right? We're about to get physical representations of what awe and wonder are, or shock and awe. These kids are great at telling us about the awe and wonder and majesty of God, right? Could you imagine you go to church and before things even begin, you are filled with awe and wonder at what God is doing? Are we that kind of church? Will you be able to say, when I went to church this morning, I was overwhelmed by the awe and wonder of God? Or will you leave this morning going, whew, made it, overlooked everything, overlooked praise and worship, I overlooked the communion time, slept through the sermon again? Will you be able to say that you were filled with awe and wonder Or will you have overlooked someone yet again? This morning, we are not going to overlook someone who just graduated from high school. Braden Langdon has graduated from high school. So, Braden, come on up. I'm going to give you the biggest paperweight you've ever had in your life. This is heavy. Okay? We give every graduating high school student the NIV Study Bible. It's a great Bible. I don't know if you ever use it. I know you will. But I've gone completely away from paper to digital stuff. But it is so cool. So enjoy it. So you're going to school in Fort Wayne, right? So she's still going to be close by. So we still have a drummer every Sunday? Possibly. The plot thickens. Guys, I have been here long enough that still in my mind, she's this tall, right? Doesn't that happen when we're old? I can tell you this. I've had to write a couple of recommendation letters for her for different things. And I always talk about the woman that she has become. And that what I'm so proud about in her is that she is somebody that lives her faith out, right? She's a treasure, and I'm so excited. Congratulations, kiddo. It's a big day. All right, mom, dad, sister, others, come on up. Grandma, grandpa, come on up. We need your family. Just stand about right there in front of the monitor. Family, come on up, gather around. All right, church family, come on up. Let's gather around. We're going to pray for her. Because if she's going to college in Fort Wayne, she'll need it. I know where all the cool coffee shops are in Fort Wayne, so I'll go see her. Can you make it through? All right. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for today and we thank you for Braden. This little girl that has become an amazing woman. And I am so excited to see the impact that she's going to have, not only on our church and our community, but I know that every class that she goes to, every event that she goes to, she will just be an amazing testimony of faith. I thank you for her family that has molded that in her and prayed over her for so long. I thank you for the example that she has set for me, just the way that she carries herself and the statements that she makes and being able to work with her with FCA has just been a treasure. So God, today we praise you for Braden, and we're excited to hear the stories of how you'll be able to work in her and through her in the days to come, and we celebrate this special event with her. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.